Well, good morning. It's November 18th, I believe. Yes, November 18th, 2022. Ward Green here. 0833 hours. 33 seconds, too, at the moment I said that. 0833 hours and 33 seconds at the moment I gave the time. And it's very early. First of all, I'm at the point. I had a great sleep. A long time spent trying to sleep and successfully sleeping from about between 8 and 9 o'clock last night until now, until virtually a few minutes ago. I slept, which is that would be 12 hours, though. Well, no, it's probably, something wrong. That would be long. No, I was up, though. I slept for 4 hours, and then I woke up, and I have 3 boxes of Cheerios that I've never eaten they were unopened, that I stopped eating Cheerios. So I never opened those, but I decided I needed to eat something. I just ate the dry Cheerios, and then I chewed some more xylitol gum before I went back to sleep, but I slept a while. I slept for some hours after I ate the Cheerios and forgot to chew the gum. But I don't think that the Cheerios will rot my teeth, probably, so it's not like it's the worst mistake I made, but anyway, eventually I chewed the xylitol. I've got to get my mouth to start working in the morning now, because it's early. I've got to get the xylitol gum to, eventually I got the xylitol gum working, or I chewed it before I went back to sleep, but I was up, I was awake, and I watched, I'm not sure what I watched on the video, on my iPad. Really, the iPad should be called the video machine or something, but it's more than that. Of course, it does more than just video, but it should be called like the video screen or something. I mean, that's how I use iPad usually. I mean, for the most part. Because it does that so, in such a lightweight container, it's such a phenomenal device. It's a video machine. It's a video playback tablet, I mean, video something is what it should be called. Video, and then some word that describes that. What it does. I got something. Potato caught in my teeth. I fried some potatoes a few days ago that I've been eating. And I fried them in coconut oil, ghee, which I bought a long time ago, and I never really used it much because I wasn't really used to it. I've never used it for frying. It's the best thing to fry things in if you instead of butter. If you were going to use butter, you should use ghee, which is clarified butter, and then at least that's what I believe it is, and it's what they use in India because it's just better for frying things. And this is coconut oil, ghee, so I'm not sure. It probably doesn't have any butter in it at all. I'm not sure what it is, but maybe it does. I'm not going to look that up right at this moment, but it tastes like coconut oil, so I didn't really like it because I just wasn't used to it. So I didn't use it for many years, but it's been in my fridge all this time. This is like, I bought this before, more than 6 years ago. I know it keeps in the fridge because it's still fine, you know. It's, but I mean, I don't believe that things expire, or not everything does. I mean, you know, the way that the expiry says, you know, if it has an expiry date, then it might be accurate to say that certainly milk expires, definitely. But I mean, and it's definitely dangerous to eat it, but other things don't expire, so you have to know what you're dealing with. But this ghee, actually, I'm going to get to like it. I'm going to get to enjoy. I actually like it now. It took me 6 years of pondering and eating it a few times to know what the flavor is. And then my brain has been processing that information for all these years. Anyway, so I like it now. I mean, I actually enjoyed that a lot. But it's still a little bit different from what I'm used to in terms of a fried flavor. Let me get my screen just slightly improved here, with get rid of some of the extremely bright things that are dominating there, that are making my glasses shine too much. So I want to report on the sore throat. I still have a sore throat, but right now it's not sore because I just ate something. I'm not. I think I might even have COVID, but I don't have any symptoms that are normal with COVID. So, I don't know what you'd call it, but it's the most stubborn infection I've ever had. This is the most stubborn infection I've ever had. If it's an infection, and it seems to be an infection, because of the way it makes me feel. And yesterday I was coming down with something again, so I decided I'd take vitamin C. But that time, not I was going to say this time, but I haven't taken any today, but yesterday I took 12 grams all at once of ascorbate mixed with sugar. I took one teaspoon for every teaspoon, or every half teaspoon. What was it? One teaspoon of sugar for every half teaspoon of ascorbate, something like that. And a little bit of water, enough to make it into a drink. And then I drank it, and it was 12 grams of vitamin C. And I would have been fine, but it was making me feel very acidic. It's very acidic, and it makes me feel. Gotta get my teeth. That piece of potato out. It's probably a piece of potato skin that's wedged in there. So I gotta fix that because I can't go on like this. It'll come out eventually, just on its own. But I can feel it. It's just. I don't even know where it is. I just know roughly where it is. That wasn't it. That was it. It was in a very large gap. There was a huge... and huge chunk of potato. Potato skin that was sort of wedged in between that, in the large gap of teeth, between the teeth. There was a large gap there. I have a few gaps that are loose near the canines. They're the only large gaps I have, and I have very tight gaps in my teeth right now. Partly, I believe, it's because of all the vitamin K2 that I've been taking. And I need to eat. More vitamin K2, as that proves, because it tightens up the gaps in my teeth. That's a really good thing. That's an excellent thing. I'm 65 years old. Knowing that I'm 65 years old and that I have got tight gaps in my teeth, is that's significant, I think, for a dentist who would know. I mean, a dentist would know that, probably. I believe that it would be significant to any dentist. But you know what? I learned something else. I'm gonna get. I have to get. I have to get some. Where? Hang on a second. I have to get some matcha. I have to make some matcha tea right now. I'm going to just... I'm going to open that so that the sound will travel. I've got to make matcha tea. Because... Well, maybe I don't. I feel like it's either that or I have to have a beverage of water, some kind of a... Some kind of beverage. Gotta make matcha tea. I gotta do it right now. But I want to tell you about my shoes. I'm wearing the Merrells right now because I wanted to go outside and I had to, and I put the, what's the brand name? Superfeet. The Superfeet Hike Max insoles into my winter boots and tried those, and I went out in my winter boots to put the garbage out. And that's another thing I have to fix, the garbage container, because it got damaged on the corner of it. And I usually use goop and black electrical tape, and I can make a repair. But I didn't notice it until now, so I couldn't do it this time. I hope it doesn't get broken while it's out there today, that's all. But broken any worse than it is. But if it doesn't, then I'll show you that repair method, maybe, how I repair recycling containers. Hopefully it won't get damaged today. Hopefully. I'm praying, I guess. I should be praying. Jehovah, help us. Help the garbage people to be sensitive today for some reason. Just because out of your loving kindness, Jehovah, because I know you're love personified. So, I mean, the thing is, I was going to talk about, or I could talk about that too, about Jehovah and why we need Jehovah. You know, why we have to have that thought, because, you know, we have, without Jehovah, all we've got are things like evolution and luck and things, you know, that's all we have. We don't have anything like love if we don't have Jehovah. So, I mean, but I wanted to talk about, you know, other things too, because we know that science evolves. Sort of, I mean, you know, because we, in the sense that, but we are the ones developing it, but it evolves in the sense that we react to the science that we already have, and to the events. We react to events that happen after we develop our first version of science. What am I heating up? Oh, yeah, the water. That's right, for the whisk. We react to events that happen after we develop our first theories, and then the science evolves in the sense... But it doesn't evolve at all unless we are the ones who create it. But we don't call it creation because we don't really control how the science interacts with the reality around us, you know. And therefore, we don't control the evolution completely. So it does evolve in that sense. It's not random, though. That's the thing. We've got to understand it's not random at all. It's determined. The way that things happen are not random. It's determined by the laws of nature, how we perceive the events after we get the scientific theory, and then we change the scientific theory, and we don't say we evolve it usually, but that's what's, you know, the evolution comes from our own creation of the next version of science. Anyway, I'm going to talk about the shoes. Turn that off. I'm going to put some iodine in this once I get it made. The shoes, we're going to talk about the shoes. My shoes, okay? Come on. I'm going to play you while I go. I have to take a bathroom break right now. I'm going to try and play you this thing here while I'm gone. Right there. Let's play this. It's not too loud. I hope it's not too loud.
My name is Billy Hart.
Too loud.
Thanks, Stephanie, Shirley, Steve. Lovely to see you.
Okay.
Greetings to this Amber Trust event, which is supported by Hilton International and the University of Roehampton. We're here to unveil the double portrait, memorialising the autistic savant Derek Parravicini, who is without sight, and Professor Adam Ockford, Chairman of the Amber Trust, Roehampton's Professor of Music, his mentor and friend for over 30 years. The Amber Trust, founded in 1995, provides children who are partially or completely without sight the best possible chance to meet their musical needs and aspirations. It was Whistler who quipped that it takes a long time for a man to look like his portrait. This true double portrait will today, and 100 years from today, testify to how this pair looked and of the symbiotic relationship between them. Relationships may come, relationships may go. Theirs is life long, but art stays forever.
Yeah.
Dame Stephanie chose to commission the award-winning artist Saeed Dai, this double portrait, knowing he would select wisely what to show and what to exclude. Now it is done, the precious double portrait will be placed in the hands of the University of Roehampton. I'd like to ask the Vice-Chancellor, Professor John Noel,
Essenjar,
to address us.
Yeah, because
thank you, Lynn, and we wish Dame Stephanie a prompt.
Yeah, because of this cold weather, I don't tell my bladder what it could or couldn't do, or should or shouldn't do. It tells me. So I have to respond promptly. The technical details of which I might discuss on another occasion, but my shoes, I want to talk about my shoes. I'm going to get my tea ready here. First of all, I want to shop fairly soon, but not really that urgently. But the roads right now today are no good for much. We got some more snow. Well, I think that snow might disappear, but it's not good for driving. It's probably not. It's not all that good for walking, but still, I could walk. I can go. I can walk. I could go out. Oh, you know what? Forgot the iodine. Okay. Iodine. That's how you can sweeten things. If you're taking iodine with it. I love the taste of iodine, but I probably didn't like it at first. I had another problem. Oh, there. Yeah. There we go. So, I took 72 grams so far of vitamin C for my infection, whatever it is. My sore throat, basically. It's just a sore throat. But yesterday I took 12 grams of vitamin C all at once, and I would have been fine, except I then had a matcha tea latte. And the reaction of the dairy milk, the cream in the latte, and all whatever's in the latte, the reaction, well, I mean, it's just the tea and the cream and the salt. The reaction, that's all that's in the latte. If, unless there's iodine. There might be iodine sometimes, like right now there is. But the reaction of the latte with the vitamin C in my stomach or whatever, whatever was in my stomach after I took the vitamin C, whatever condition my stomach was in, the reaction was just, yeah, I got gas, but it was painful. Like it was, I think it was, I know it was gas because I've had experience and because I saw the gas, or I didn't see it, but I heard the gas and felt the gas come out of me, both ends of my body, it came out. It wasn't like, it was more like just air coming out, you know, it was not, it wasn't like any kind of foul odor or smell or, you know, it was nothing like that. But it was just gas that was created by the combination, I think, of these, of the acid and the base or something, you know, acid and milk. And it was very painful at times, like moments of excruciating pain, which kept recurring, more pain, and it was, I was at my wit's end as to what to do. So I tried taking, I took nine of these Tums, which are an antacid, but then I realized when that didn't work, I realized, well, of course, it's not acid indigestion, because acid indigestion is up in the chest, you feel it. As heartburn. If it had been heartburn, the Tums would have worked. In my past experience, it does work. But I haven't taken Tums for years. And Tums was the way that I first learned about calcium, was by taking Tums. That's how I first started understanding a little bit about calcium. And then when I found out about coral calcium, then I, you know, coral calcium with Bob Barefoot's educational program that he had on advertising his coral calcium. That's when I really learned more about calcium. But I started with Tums. Now this Tums failed in this case because it wasn't acid indigestion. It was some kind of a gas. Excruciatingly painful. Finally, it came out, or went away, or it partly came out and partly went away. Whatever it was extremely painful. I mean, just excruciating pain. Because, you know, you feel like you want to explode, but you can't. I mean, I did have a couple of bowel movements, but not really the major bowel movement you would expect with that kind of pain. If it was gas, you'd expect a bigger bowel movement than what I had. But it partly came out and partly dissipated, and I had finally went back to normal. And I thought my sore throat was gone too. It almost cured my sore throat, but then it came back this morning again. So I mean, it was, you know, and I had it last night a little bit. The sore throat is not, when I'm eating, there's no sore throat. I have no sore throat now, so it's not bad. Look at I spilled on my jacket the other day some of this matcha tea. So I'm trying to be careful. It was on this light colored jacket. I was kind of more shocked or dismayed to find out that it was stained, but okay. That's enough of that matcha tea for now. I just need something in my stomach after those potatoes, which are kind of, they're greasy with the ghee, but it's not a bad grease. It's just that I needed something, partly to quench my thirst, I think. And what happened yesterday was quite surprising with the pain I had and everything. So when you say starve a fever, feed a cold, you have to be careful when you're feeding your cold, what you feed it, be careful. Because if you feed it the wrong thing, like if you combine dairy with high doses of vitamin C, you might get gas and it might be painful. You might have other reactions. But I thought, I would have believed anything. If you told me I was getting cancer, I would have believed that. If you told me I was getting a stomach ulcer, I would have believed you, because it was that painful. But I don't think it was any of that. It was just gas, because I've had gas before, and I know how painful it can be. And it didn't feel like anything other than gas, really. But Well, sometimes the pain was so great that it seemed like it was more than just gas, but I'm just hoping it's not, you know, and it wasn't. But it's a warning not to use too much vitamin C all at once. Take it 2 grams every 20 minutes, which is what I'm going to do from now on, I believe, or I'll take no more than 6 grams at once or something. I'll restrict it, you know. But because 12 is just too much for someone of my size and weight, it's too much. It made me too, I could feel it in my mouth, and it, you know, it was making me kind of salivate, or, you know, it was making me do things I shouldn't be feeling, feel things I shouldn't be feeling. But it's quite safe still. If I had not eaten anything, well, that's right, I thought I needed to eat something because I didn't feel right. So I think it was just a bit, it was too much, I think. But that's 12 grams. You can take 2 grams. Even a 4-year-old might be able to take 2 grams. I mean, that's what Andrew Saul says, if I'm remembering it correctly. And his daughter, he cured whooping cough with 2 grams of vitamin C every 20 minutes, a sorbate. It's cheaper to buy a sorbate, mix it with water and sugar, I guess. I used white sugar after I used the brown sugar. But anyway, I've got all these things going on right now that are important to explain, because the starve a fever, feed a cold is not really what you want to do. You want to starve everything except for give it vitamin C. Feed it with vitamin C, but don't give it too much to eat. Otherwise, like, that's the idea. If you can, don't give it anything to eat other than vitamin C. That's the best way, until that thing is gone, that infection is gone. That's the best way, but you can't always do that, because your body might tell you you need to eat something right away, like urgently. It might say, I need this food now. Your body's telling you, so you do it. That's what I did. But then when I did that, I nearly died, it felt like. So it wasn't anything but pain. I didn't have any other symptom, just pain. But in my stomach. But anyway. Oh, I love that matcha tea. Even though it doesn't have sugar anymore, I'm not using sugar. I use salt instead of sugar. Like, we need a lot of salt when we have enough calcium. We need a lot of salt. And salt is my new sugar. I mean, that's what I don't add too much salt. I'm trying to see if I can find the right balance, but I use quite a bit of salt. And without salt, it's really bland. But with salt, you can manage it. You don't need sugar. You can use salt as your flavor. And Himalayan salt is really good for us. So that's the story of the vitamin C right now. That's the story. I didn't use salt with the vitamin C. I could have, but that's another thing I could try instead of sugar. Because the sugar is going to cause, it spikes your insulin. When you spike your insulin, you hold water. That's what happens. If you spike your insulin, you hold water. And when you hold water, maybe that's what causes the gas. I don't know, you know, because there's more water putting pressure on the gas. Whereas if I hadn't spiked my insulin, maybe that wouldn't have been, maybe if I didn't use sugar, that wouldn't have been a problem. Sugar is very inflammatory. That's right. It's another thing about sugar. It's very inflammatory. Very inflammatory. So, yeah, maybe if I had taken the vitamin C without sugar, but taken it with something like salt or something else, I don't know what would happen. But I'm going to try different things in the future. My shoes, the thing about the Merrells, okay, I realized after I tried the hike, the Superfeet Hike Max in my winter boots, which they're pretty good, actually, but I'm not sure that's the best. I haven't tried anything else for my winter boots yet, but they fit, and it's size 8. Baffin boots, size 8. And they're the insoles that would not fit in the Merrell size 8, but they fit in the Baffin boots, just barely fit. But I managed to get them in. And my feet now, in the Baffin boots, I'm sure I could walk in those boots some distance without too many problems. But the big story here about the boots, I realized when I came back in the house, I wanted to put my Merrells on because I'm going to be taking them off again anyway. Because I have to go back out to get the garbage bin later. So I thought, in the meantime, I'll try the Merrell boots before I put my Danner boots on later. So the Merrell boots, when I put them on, I realized I had the Ilaca insoles in there underneath the Merrell originals. And that was a problem because, first of all, they weren't as comfortable. But then I noticed my left foot was hurting in that area that got hurt the other day when I was out doing the yard work. It was like those, and but it's not really that injury. I don't think it's that same. I don't think it was that same injury because just now, after I put the Spenco Polysorb, all day support or all day comfort, whatever they're called, when I put them back in place of the Ilaca, that pain disappeared completely immediately disappeared. So these shoes, the Merrells, are immensely comfortable with these Spenco in the bottom and the Merrell originals on top. And that's just the way these boots are fantastic. They're so good. I can't imagine they could be any better than what they are because, I mean, it's not just no pain. They feel like the shoes fit exactly like they should. I mean, I'm serious. I'm not exaggerating any of the things I've learned about insoles. And what I already was going to try to explain, even before this happened, I was already thinking I need to clarify something about insoles. For anyone watching, little children, because what you're going to notice when you're watching somebody talk about insoles, you're not going to believe all the things that are being said because, you know, in our minds we think, well, it can't make that big a difference what you put in your shoe. Like it's either if it's a red or green insole or whatever color or shape it is, or, you know, they're all basically the same, these insoles, right? They all do the same job, basically. They can't be that different, but they are. They really are. Like, it makes a huge difference. Microscopic changes in the thickness of things. Everything makes a huge difference with your feet because you're putting a lot of pressure on these small surfaces, which we call feet. And, oh, it's critical. It's absolutely critical. Everything is critical with feet. So that's why I needed to buy all these different insoles, even though I already had found a really good combination. We don't know what the best combination is. And I also thought about humility. There's two kinds of humility. There's the kind of humility that you feel, which is what you feel like when you're humiliated, which doesn't feel good. And the other kind of humility is how you react to that, which doesn't feel very, that's not how you feel about it. It's how you react, where you react in a mild manner to the humiliation. That's the other kind of humility. Neither one of them has to do with feeling good, but the humiliation is the part that feels bad. How you react to it is a personal choice. And it's something we call humility. So let's come back to this. No, I'm listening to a... So I'm right now my Merrells feel absolutely... I'm really excited. I'm thrilled. But with shoes, you never know, right? Tomorrow I could find that there's a problem. I have to change the insole. Find another, I have to solve a new problem maybe. So, but right now, I'm conditionally thrilled. I mean, I feel like I should be thrilled. I mean, it is quite exciting. It's quite astounding is the word, you know, that you can get a pair of shoes that when you first put them on, they're not perfect at all. They just, too much room in the shoes and you just, you know, they don't fit tight. My right heel is slipping, things like that. Now, I still have a slight heel slip, which is basically unavoidable until they get broken in. Right now, I'm wearing my heavy socks, too. I'm not wearing the light, I'm not wearing Thorlows, I'm wearing the Smart Wool. And they're very thick socks, really, compared to Thorlows. So I can wear the Merrells with those socks. That's what I'm learning here, which is great. And I'm still using the Spenco Polysorb all day insoles, which have no arch support. Really. They do have a small. But they have no metatarsal pad. That's what it is. They're basically just a cushion with a small arch support, but there's no real arch support. It's just a small bump in the region of the arch. It's nothing much. So it doesn't do any of that, but the marrow insole on top has an arch support in it, so you don't need that in the undersole. It's a cushion underneath the original insole, and the cushion, you need that, or it can be very beneficial. I shouldn't say you always need it, because you don't in all applications. I'm sure you don't. But the marrow, the cushion can be very, very, extreme, very beneficial. I wouldn't say extremely. Just extreme. Well, it is extremely, but I don't like the word extreme because it sounds like it's going too far. But very, very beneficial to have a cushion underneath your foot. If you're going to be spending any time on your feet, it's really, really good. And I already knew this from having used these blue cushion insoles that I had before, which are now too old and they're worn out. I can't use them because they're cracked, and I shouldn't use them unless I really have to. But now that I know about the Spenco Polysorb all-day support, or they're not the all-day support. They're not the support ones. They're all-day something, but not support. Support is a different... The support insoles were not the Polysorb, so... They're Spenco all day. And they're Polysorb, and they're green on top. They're green on top. The fabric is green on top. Those Spencos, and I think they're probably $30 or so. It's not a lot of money for something that's that good. I mean, yeah, if you can imagine the difference being so great, then you wouldn't think it was a lot of money. But anyway, but it still seems like a lot of money at first. But if your shoes are $130 or $120, then or more, then $30 is not that much. And that's all I had to put into these shoes. In my Danners, I put $110 worth of insoles in a $310 boot. And it's worth it because it makes those Danners feel amazing. But yesterday, those Danners were hurting my left foot. And I thought it was because of the injury. I'm pretty sure it was because of that injury. And maybe even in the case of the Ilacas, it's still that injury that's causing that pain. The injury I did a few days ago. But that when my left foot was slipping in my boot. And that problem I've hopefully rectified now by putting a Superfeet carbon insole with a small arch in those old Merrells hiking boots, so that my foot can't slip as easily because the arch has something to get under it, prevent it from slipping around in there. Can't slide over that bump. But I think the Danners were hurting me yesterday just on the left side because of that foot being injured. I could feel it. It's still injured. If that foot wasn't injured, I wouldn't have the pain in the Danners because they absolutely fit the best I've ever had any boot. But now the Merrells, even though with the Ilacas, the Merrells were hurting my left foot, now that left foot pain is gone, which tells me it's not simply a case of which insoles. I mean, it is a case. Wait a minute. It tells me it's not simply a case of the injury. It tells me that the insoles can prevent feeling the pain of that injury, which is it's almost beyond imagining. It's insane, isn't it? I mean, you'd think I was insane if I told you that. But that's the kind of thing it is. That's how important these insoles can be, but only if you find the right combination, though. So if it's not worth spending $500, then on insoles, then I don't know what is worth spending $500 on, because it's that significant a thing. It can rectify pain in a foot that's injured. I mean, I should be still, and now I'm sitting down, it's not going to matter as much, but I was walking around here, no pain in that foot. It's I guess it's just a cushion, maybe. I don't know, but I mean, in the Danners, I have Superfeet Green have a good cushion in them, so normally that was working. But now I don't want to put the Danners on again because they were hurting me yesterday on the injured foot. I don't know what to do, but I can wear the Merrells now, right? Because they're comfortable. So I guess I'll wear those for a while, and then when I go back to the Danners, hopefully they'll be super comfortable again. Because they were, and there's no reason why they wouldn't be, it seems to me. But if they're not, then I'll work on, I guess, I'll try more, I'll look for more combinations, I guess. Why am I so hungry? I ate like four big bowls of dry Cheerios last night. I don't know why I'm hungry, but... Now, Derek Paravicini is a savant. An autistic savant whose brain was damaged when he was a premature baby in the hospital incubator because they couldn't control how much oxygen was in the oxygen tent or in the incubation machine, whatever they were using. And he went blind as well. But he learned to play piano at a very young age, and he remembers every song that he's ever heard. And he learns a song the first time he ever hears it. He knows it instantly as soon as he hears it. And he's got perfect pitch in a way that nobody else has, it seems, or perhaps no one else. He can hear a combination of notes, like you can play 12 notes at once, and he knows them all immediately as soon as he hears it. Or 10 notes. If you play him 10 notes simultaneously, he can play 10 notes with his two hands. He can play those 10 notes immediately after hearing it. He knows which notes they are. It doesn't matter if they're harmonic, chromatic, or you know, if there's no harmonic relation or anything. He knows what they all are. So he's a musical genius, and this is this program is about him. So they unveil this painting of him with his mentor and teacher, and it's this interview or this video is interesting to watch because the artist gives a speech about what it means to create a work of art, which is a visual medium, and then Derek is there listening right here at the piano, and then Derek is going to play later on, and his teacher gives a talk here, a very short talk. Actually, his teacher normally gives a much longer talk. But then Derek plays a couple of requests. And these are requests that are just completely random requests. This is another definition of what random is. This is probably the best definition of random, is when somebody gives you a request out of the blue, play this song for me. And Derek, this is how he's able to do it. These are random requests. One of them was, if a picture paints 1,000 words, that song. The other one was Black and White Rag, I believe, is the name of the rag. It's either Black and White Rag or White and Black Rag. I guess it's Black and White Rag, yeah. But anyway, but Derek then plays, so this is what he plays. I think this is it here. Oh, that's right. They give him. You can give Derek any combination of notes and tell him to write a song, or play a song based on those notes, and he'll do it. He can write music on the spot. So they give him two notes. They give him D, and then it's because DSS means something in German. For some reason that I'm not going to try to get into right now, and then the S stands for E flat. I think they said. Is it? Let's see what he plays.
D, E flat.
Yeah, D and E flat. So a D and then two E flats, and Derek writes a song based on it.
E flat in German is German's S, so it's D, S, F.
Let's get that back again.
E flat. E flat. E flat in German is German's S, so it's D, S.
E flat is the German S. Okay.
D.
It's because E flat is the German S That's what he said. That's why. Sorry, wait a minute. So because the German S is an E-flat.
E-flat.
Sorry.
E-flat. E-flat in Germany is Jones S.
It's something, not the German S, but it's something.
So, yeah, Derek,
it's something
is.
S.
What is it? Thank you, Prelude. To Steve.
Thank you to Steve. Reminded me of the Stevie Wonder song, definitely. But he wrote that on the spot. I guess he based it a little bit on Stevie Wonder, I think it sounds like. But what I think is that that's his teacher there behind him, in behind there. And the lady who's presiding is there too. But the painting was a painting of Derek and his teacher at the piano, and that's the painting they unveiled for this event. And it's not visible right here, is it? No, I don't think we don't see the painting right here. It's the painting is more to our right as we look at this. It's off to the right here. We're not seeing it. The painting that's behind the piano, I believe, is a painting of the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II. But that's not visible here. But some other paintings are there. But the painting that was unveiled is not visible here. So I can go back. There it is. There it is. Yeah. Right? Where is it? Why is it? There. That's the painting behind there on the right. It's Derek at the piano with Adam. And then they were thanking Steve, and I don't know who Steve is, but then Adam comes over. Adam is the teacher, Derek's teacher. Derek Paravicini is the young piano player. He's not as young as he used to be, I guess, but he's fairly young, I think. How young is he now? I'm trying to think if he's in his 30s or if he's getting older anyway as time goes on. He's maybe, I'm not sure how old he is, but we can certainly look that up. Okay. So, and Derek does this thing with his fingers that some autistic people do.
Right? There you go, Steve. Thanks very much.
Then they give a gift to Steve, I think, or something, but... But whatever, so, whoever's
yes, yes, it's what about a picture paint? 1,000 words.
I think a picture paints 1,000 words.
A picture paints 1,000 words.
There's probably 100 people here, so we might not get through.
That was a random request. A picture paints 1,000 words was a random request, okay? Derek didn't know this was coming. It's just a request that is just given on the spot. And Derek, this is what he plays.
Okay? Yeah.
Thank you. hope that that's not too loud. I'm going to turn that down. I think that's a little too loud for the recording. Okay.
We have one more request before we pray. Nick, go ahead. You must request yourself. Play something. Play something. If you're really lucky, you might do it. You
will. Yeah, with Derek, it's like the man said, play something. But with Derek, you can't really just say play something. You've got to tell him. He likes to know what you want him to play, I think. He's not, I mean, you could say just play something, I guess, but he wants to know what. He'd say, well, what is it that you want me to play? Like he's not generating the ideas himself, you know. These are other people. He's got a great ability to play anything you want him to play because he knows a lot of songs, but you need to give him the name of the song. Anyway, you can listen to that. I guess we should get to our study. If you want to, you can listen to that. It's on the channel Derek Parabaccini, actually, his channel. And it's the portrait to commemorate autistic savant Derek Parabaccini. That's the name of the video. But I'd like to get to our study, little children. Psalm 48, a song, a melody of the sons of Korah. It's short. So Jehovah, please help us to be receptive is the word I'm looking for here, Jehovah. Help us to be receptive to the word that you give us and the power that it has to affect our lives and the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Jehovah is great and much to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain. Pretty for loftiness, the exaltation of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the remote sides of the north, the town of the grand king. In her dwelling towers, God himself has become known as a secure height. For look, the kings themselves have met by appointment. They have passed by together. They themselves saw, and so they were amazed. They got disturbed. They were sent running in panic. Trembling itself took hold of them there. Birth pangs like those of a woman giving birth. With an east wind, you wrecked the ships of Tarshish. Just as when we have heard, so we have seen in the city of Jehovah of armies, in the city of our God. Jehovah himself will firmly establish it to time indefinite. Selah. We have pondered, O God, over your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. Like your name, O God, so your praise is to the borders of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness itself. May Mount Zion rejoice. May the dependent towns of Judah be joyful on account of your judicial decisions. March around Zion, you people, and go about it. Count its towers. Set your hearts upon its rampart. Inspect its dwelling towers, in order that you may recount it to the future generation. For this God is our God to time indefinite, even forever. He himself will guide us until we die. Yeah. Count its towers, the city of God. So it's about Jehovah, this psalm, and it's about the city of Zion, the city of God. It's about those two things. Remember that, Psalm 48, whenever you want to read more about that or read it again about the city of God and about Jehovah, the God very much to be praised. And then Isaiah 20:28. Woe to the eminent crown of the drunkards of Ephraim and the fading blossom of its decoration of beauty that is upon the head of the fertile valley of those overpowered by wine. Look, Jehovah has someone strong and vigorous, like a thunderous storm of hail, a destructive storm, like a thunderous storm of powerful flooding waters. He will certainly do a casting down to the earth with force. With the feet, the eminent crowns of the drunkards of Ephraim will be trampled down, and the fading flower of its decoration of beauty that is upon the head of the fertile valley must become like the early fig before summer, that when the seer sees it, while it is yet in his palm, he swallows it down. In that day, Jehovah of armies will become as a crown of decoration, and as a garland of beauty to the ones remaining over of his people, and as a spirit of justice to the one sitting in the judgment, and as mightiness to those turning away the battle from the gate. And these also, because of wine, they have gone astray, and because of intoxicating liquor, they have wandered about. Priest and prophet, they have gone astray because of intoxicating liquor. They have become confused as a result of the wine. They have wandered about as a result of the intoxicating liquor. They have gone astray in their seeing. They have reeled as to decision, for the tables themselves have all become full of filthy vomit. There is no place without it. Whom will one instruct in knowledge, and whom will one make understand what has been heard? Those who have been weaned from the milk, those moved away from the breasts? For it is command upon command, measuring line upon measuring line, measuring line upon measuring line, here a little, there a little. For by those stammering with their lips and by a different tongue he will speak to this people, those to whom he has said, "This is the resting place, give rest to the weary one, and this is the place of ease," but who were not willing to hear. And to them the word of Jehovah will certainly become command upon command, command upon command, measuring line upon measuring line, measuring line upon measuring line, here a little, there a little, in order that they may go and certainly stumble backwards and actually be broken and ensnared and caught. Therefore, hear the word of Jehovah, you braggarts, you rulers of this people who are in Jerusalem, because you men have said, "We have concluded a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have effected a vision, the overflowing flash flood, in case it should pass through, will not come to us, for we have made a lie our refuge, and in falsehood we have concealed ourselves. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said, here I am laying as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tried stone, the precious corner of a sure foundation. No one exercising faith will get panicky. And I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the leveling instrument. And the hail must sweep away the refuge of a lie. And the waters themselves will flood out the very place of concealment. And your covenant with death will certainly be dissolved. And that vision of yours with Sheol will not stand. The overflowing flash flood, when it passes through, you must also become for it a trampling place, and as often as it passes through, it will take you men away, because morning by morning it will pass through, during the day and during the night, and it must become nothing but a reason for quaking, to make others understand what has been heard. For the couch has proved too short for stretching oneself on, and the woven sheet itself is too narrow when wrapping oneself up. For Jehovah will rise up just as out at Mount Perazim. He will be agitated just as in the low plain near Gibeon, that he may do his deed. His deed is strange, and that he may work his work. His work is unusual. And now do not show yourselves scoffers, in order that your bands may not grow strong, for there is an extermination, even something decided upon, that I have heard of from the Sovereign Lord, Jehovah of armies, for all the land. Give ear, you men, and listen to my voice. Pay attention and listen to my saying. Is it all day long that the plower plows in order to sow seed, that he loosens and harrows his ground? Does he not, when he has smoothed out its surface, then scatter back cumin and sprinkle the cumin? And must he not put in wheat, millet, and barley in the appointed place, and spelt as his boundary? And one corrects him according to what is right. His own God instructs him. For it is not with a thrashing instrument, that black cummin is given a treading. And upon cummin, no wheel of wagon is turned. For it is with a rod that black cummin is generally beaten out, and cummin with a staff. Is bread stuff itself generally crushed? For never does one incessantly keep treading it out. And he must set the roller of his wagon in motion and his own steeds, but he will not crush it. This also is what has come forth from Jehovah of armies himself, who has been wonderful in counsel, who has done greatly in effectual working. That was Isaiah 28. So, this is a chapter of Isaiah with which I'm fairly familiar, and I'm not sure exactly why. Well, partly because of when we say that the deed of the work of Jehovah is unusual or strange, that's in this chapter that scripture occurs. You know, people say the Lord works in mysterious ways. Well, that's referring to this chapter, very likely. In the book of Isaiah here. Look, it judges the braggarts there too. Braggarts are ones who had promoted falsehood. They take shelter in untruth. And they conceal themselves in the untruth. In verse 15, we have made a lie our refuge. But they get judged here. Jehovah says, no, that's not going to be a good enough refuge. Justice and righteousness, you know, are going to cause the destruction of these people, because they're going to, there's a idea of this hail. Right, but also Jehovah has laid, or does lay, in Zion a foundation. Right, we know that's referring to a prophecy about the Messiah. We know that there would be a stone also that was rejected, that would become the head of the corner. Well, here, this is talking about a stone that was a tried stone, the precious corner of a sure foundation, and there would be this hail, that this we know the destructive power of hail. Hail can destroy, you know, also windows and roofs and kill people. Hail is very destructive, because the larger the hailstones get, I think that's true, that a small hailstone doesn't reach a high terminal velocity, but when hailstones get very large, I saw something the other day that said that the larger hailstones, I'm not going to say it until I find out. I'm going to Google it. The terminal velocity, this is from a Canadian, looks like a technical website, eoas.ubc.ca. The terminal fall velocity of hail increases with hailstone size. So it's incredibly destructive. If the hailstone gets big, it gets faster in speed, and it will kill people. Like, it's destructive. I'm trying to explain, figure out why. Why would it? Why does the terminal velocity get greater with size? Well, it's got to do with wind resistance goes as the square of velocity. So, but I mean, the only thing that stops it from accelerating is the wind resistance. So that's the only thing. The only thing slowing it down, the heavier it is, you need more. Oh, I know why. Because mass increases as the cube of the radius. That's why. That's right. Gravity depends on the mass, right? The force of gravity is directly proportional to the mass. The heavier it is, the more the force of gravity. But the acceleration is the same. Because mass and acceleration, F equals ma. You know, bigger force, bigger mass, but acceleration is the same. So F equals ma. You increase F, you increase m. Or you increase m, that increases the force of gravity, but it doesn't change the acceleration because F equals ma is, if you double F, you can double m, and F equals ma is still the same. It's still equal with the acceleration being the same. 9.8 meters per second squared is the acceleration due to gravity. But that doesn't change depending on mass. But if you double the mass, you have to double the force to make that equation still be the same on both sides. So any change to the force, or to the mass rather, will be a change to the force in equal proportion in order for A to be the same, which is what we see in nature, that the force is proportional to the mass. But anyway, and they're exactly proportional, and that the acceleration of gravity never changes. The only thing that changes is the air resistance. That can affect the acceleration and slow it down, prevent it from accelerating. But air resistance goes as the square of the radius, not the cube. The cube of the radius is volume. Like when you have a square, you multiply length times width times height. It's the cubic. The cubic idea, right? It's the cube of the dimension. So, you know, it's 4/3 pi r cubed is the volume of a sphere. 4/3 pi r cubed. That's what scientists, mathematicians have worked out. That it's 4/3 pi r cubed. The volume of a sphere in terms of r being the radius. 4/3 pi r cubed is the volume of a sphere of radius r. Now, since that goes as r cubed, that's going to go up faster with r increases. As r increases, then the surface area, which is 4 pi r squared for a sphere. 4 pi r squared for a sphere is that area of the circumference of the surface of the sphere, that area. 4 pi r squared, it goes up as r squared. So as r gets bigger, r cubed gets much faster, it gets bigger much faster than r squared does. So the mass, which is exactly proportional to the volume for something that's all the same like ice, just gets bigger. More ice, twice as much ice, twice as heavy. I mean, that's simple. Twice as much ice, twice as heavy, right? It's logical. It's simple. It's the same with everything. Twice as much water, twice as heavy. Twice as much food, twice as heavy. Everything. It works proportionally. So the mass goes up proportional to the... Why was I saying that? Wait a minute. Hang on a sec. Wait a minute. Yeah, the volume, okay, so if you double the volume, right? Or, well, in this case, if you increase r by a factor of 2, r cubed becomes 8. 2 cubed is 8. 2 times 2 times 2 is 8. But, well, anyway, why was I saying, I'm trying to remember why, there was a concept, a very important physical concept, that as the volume increases, the mass increases exactly the same amount. That's what I was saying. So you double the volume, you double the mass, right? So therefore, you double the force due to gravity, and you're, you know, you're You're not going to double the acceleration. It's always the same, but you're not going to slow down the acceleration because you're not going to be able to slow it down unless you can oppose that acceleration with an equal force. And 4 pi r squared doesn't increase as rapidly as 4/3 pi r cubed does. 4/3 pi r cubed goes up with r cubed instead of r squared, which is just a slower rate of rise. You double r, you're going to get 4 times in 4 pi r squared. You get 8 times in 4/3 pi r cubed. So that the wind resistance is proportional to the area, which is 4 pi r squared, 4 pi r squared. There's not enough air resistance because it only can work based on surface area, right? And anyway, even if let's call the surface area pi r squared, which is what everyone knows a circle is. It's the same thing. It still goes up with r squared. It's not going up with the rate of the amount of the ice, which is, 4/3 pi r cubed. That goes up at a rate of r cubed. If you double it, it's 2 times 2 times 2. If you double r in pi r squared, it's 2 times 2. It doesn't go up as fast. So the bigger it gets, the less important, in a sense, the less important the wind resistance is. In other words, it's almost like the wind resistance becomes less the bigger it gets, because you got the same acceleration, but you've got a bigger downward force, and the upward force is relatively less compared to the downward force, because the downward force is directly proportional to the mass, which is directly proportional to the volume, which is going up with r cubed. So there's just no way to slow it down. In other words, that thing keeps on getting faster and faster the bigger it gets, because there's not enough wind resistance based on the area of the circle or the sphere, however you want to calculate the wind resistance. It's never going to be big enough because area is always r squared and volume is always r cubed. Just like we know that, right? The area of a square is length times width, and the volume of a cube is length times width times height. So it's always going to be the cube for a volume, and it's the square for an area. And wind resistance is only dependent on the area that the wind sees. The force that the wind can use slowing something down can only depend on this area that it sees. It doesn't know about the volume of it. Well, we know there's probably some turbulence, and so the volume does affect something, but it's not a significant factor. So the only thing that matters is area with wind resistance. So, these hailstones are just deadly. They're deadly when they get bigger. They just they're more deadly by far. And Jehovah said he's going to send a hail. That's how serious this judgment is going to be. There are these braggarts who've concluded a covenant with death and with the grave, Sheol. Sheol is the grave, in case you're wondering, in verse 15, what that is. Or hell, as we sometimes call it, also is the grave, Sheol. Although there are many more things to say about the idea of hell that we're not going to touch on here. The covenant with death, your covenant with death will be dissolved in verse 18, and that vision of yours with Sheol will not stand. And then there's going to be a flash flood. It's going to be it's going to be causing the braggarts to become a trampling place in verse 18. The overflowing flash flood. And where's the hail? There it is in verse 17. The hail must sweep away the refuge of a lie. That hail is powerful, by the way, as we just determined scientifically as well. But at the beginning, and there's the cumin or the cumin, depending how you want to pronounce it. The black cumin. I prefer to say cumin because I think it's the correct pronunciation, because sometimes it's spelled with two M's, cumin. And in other places, it's spelled, if it were India, it would be pronounced cumin, I think, or something like that, maybe. I don't know, though. It might be cumin or cumin. Or we say sometimes cumin, but sometimes in North America. But and most people seem to say cumin, but I think cumin is very likely the original. Otherwise, I wouldn't use it. But it's because it has two M's in some languages. But anyway, it's this black cumin that is a spice that we know about, right? And it's mentioned here. It's not with a thrashing instrument that black cumin is given a treading. It's with a rod. Jehovah of Armies has been wonderful in counsel. And it mentioned the city of Zion in Psalm 48, and now we're looking at the drunkards of Ephraim in verse 28 of Isaiah. It's talking about God's people in Ephraim. That's one of the tribes of Israel. One of the sons of Joseph was named Ephraim. And when the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes, received their inheritance, the two sons of Joseph both got an inheritance. They each got an inheritance. And Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob, and his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, each got an inheritance in the Promised Land. Partly because, I suppose, we might reason it was because Jacob was saved with his family by going to Egypt, and that was because Joseph was ruling Egypt at the time, so Joseph gets a special consideration because of his saving the family of Israel. Israel was another name given to Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was one of his 12 sons by his wife Rachel. And Ephraim was a son, the younger son, I believe, of Joseph. But he was going to be greater than his brother, according to Jacob, in a prophecy given by Jacob to Joseph, and with the two sons present, Jacob said that the younger would be better, superior to the elder of the two sons. And Ephraim was the younger son. But look what happened. Ephraim misbehaved and became a drunkard and did things that weren't good here. With the feet, the eminent crowns of the drunkards of Ephraim will be trampled down in verse 3. That's because he wasn't doing good. And Jehovah has someone strong and vigorous in verse 2, like a thunderous storm of hail, a destructive storm, as we also looked at in terms of the mathematics of the science of Newtonian science. F equals ma, force equals mass times acceleration, which is Newton's second law. By the way, Newton's first law is that any object in motion tends to remain in motion, and any object at rest tends to remain at rest. And his third law is that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Those are the three laws of Newton. The second one being F equals ma, force equals mass times acceleration. So anyway, that takes the mystery out of it, for those who are wondering. In that day, Jehovah of Armies will become as a crown of decoration. I think we are done. I'm going to have to terminate. We're actually at the end of our time, but I won't rush through the ending here. I think I'll take my time. But it's basically, we've reached our time limit, and it's November 18th, 2022. I've covered a lot of different topics. I'm going to figure out what I can do with my boots. I got to try and think about possibly. Well, I will have to repair that unless it gets totally destroyed, which I hope it doesn't, because I don't want to have to get another one of those recycling containers. I'd like to be able to repair that. And my boots, I'm working on those, the comfort levels and things like that with the insoles. Maybe I'll have to get more insoles now that I know which ones are good and so on. I don't know. But right now, there's a lot of things to think about, building a door or a wall and things like that. My welding table, my chin-up bar, a lot of things to think about. The music of Derek Parravicini is another thing you can listen to. He's got a quartet, I believe, or he used to have a quartet. The last time, I haven't looked at it recently, but the last time I looked, he had a band, and they're quite talented, too. I mean, they're not all savants like he is, and they're not, they're, some of them are more normal in that sense, but they're still very good musicians, as you would think they would be. You can listen to some more of Derek's music, not just on his website, but there are other YouTube videos that have been made about him. And they're quite, I think I would like to show some of them, or one of them, that talks about when they've done tests with Derek, with a symphony orchestra, for example, and things like that. But anyway, November 18th, 2022, 0956 hours, 0956 hours, Ward Green here, and Ward Green out with love.